Live. The Tap.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Two people have died and at least five others have been critically injured in a charter bus crash northwest of New York City that was taking Long Island high school students to band camp in Pennsylvania. WCBS-TV's Allie Bauman reports.
Dozens of first responders rushed to the scene just after 1:30 p.m., forced to use ladders to rescue victims as the bus teetered among treetops. Some of the injured were pulled through windows. Crews also scoured the woods to find anyone who may have been ejected.
It is likely that a faulty front tire contributed to the accident.
Traffic was shut down for hours, and tonight officials say it is unclear how the bus careened out of control.
A reported leaked messages from an aide to UAW President Sean Fain reportedly shed light on the union's strike strategy against the big three automakers. The Detroit Free Press and Axios report that the messages stretch back to earlier this year and describe hardball tactics. GM responds in a statement that it's clear UAW leadership has always intended to cause months-long disruption regardless of the harm it causes to its members and their communities. Meantime, in Chicago, auto workers remain on the picket line as a union noon deadline tomorrow could kick in, sparking more plant strikes. Time is running out for House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and Congress to find a compromise on a short-term spending bill that would keep the government open past the end of this month. CBS's Scott McFarland.
This is a fundamental and pernicious problem and quite a moment here in Congress, which is racing toward that October 1st deadline to pass all the spending bills and avert a painful shutdown. And as it races, the U.S. House has just stalled.
President Biden held a bilateral meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House today.
Thank you so much. Thanks you, your team, Congress, and thanks journalists that for all your messages to your society and to the world.
Mr. Biden has announced a $325 million aid package for Ukraine. Waistlines are growing in the U.S., according to the CDC. CBS's Alexander Tin.
47 states this year had more than a quarter of their adult residents reporting they are obese. That means a BMI of at least 30 or more. And three states, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and West Virginia, now have at least 40% of their adult residents reporting they are obese.
Rupert Murdoch is stepping down as chairman of Fox and News Corp in November, but will remain chairman emeritus of the two companies. Murdoch's son Lachlan will succeed him as chairman of both companies. Home sales fell again in August as homebuyers grapple with rising mortgage rates and prices. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news
and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local civic media radio station, The Maggie Dawn Show.
My immediate thought when I read about this and then watched it today was, please don't die, Senator McConnell. I couldn't disagree more strongly with Senator McConnell's policy positions, but he has been one of the only elected officials that's in a leadership position for the Republican Party that hasn't completely supplicated himself to Donald Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local civic media radio station and on the civic media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about 5 minutes.
A week, everyone was excited, and then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the civic media app. Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
That's so it goes. But it's going, no one knows.
Your host, Kristen Bry.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the last Thursday. Only 2 days left until, only two shows left until I bid adieu for a little while. I'm feeling a little anxious about it.
Well, being totally honest. I think that would be normal.
Yeah, I keep having labor dreams, so that's weird.
What does a labor dream encompass?
That I dream about being in labor. It's pretty straightforward.
Even I got that one, Jen.
Well, no, I didn't know. I mean, is it like, well, does that include delivery? You know, does it include?
Yeah. Well, this one, I think I ended up having, in last night's, I ended up having to, after hours and hours of pushing, ended up having to get a C-section, which has happened to plenty of my friends.
Of course.
So that was last night's. I also wake up in the middle of the night, like, think it's just the... We've reached the I've heard so many stories about delivery, about the first 6 to 8 weeks with breastfeeding, with all this stuff. And so now my since we're so close, my imagination and my subconscious is like running all of the scenarios through my head.
I believe it.
And waking me up at night. So that's how I'm doing this morning. Jane Mettner, how are you doing this morning?
I am not having labor dreams.
Have you ever had a labor dream?
I have never had a labor dream. No. I'm good. I am also a little anxious because I'm taking over for you on Monday.
I know.
And we had a little chat with management yesterday and just wanted to see, you know, what my plan is and who's going to be joining me and if there's anything I needed. And I did suggest a daily limo and a fruit plate.
How did they take that?
That didn't seem to take that seriously for some reason. I know, shocking.
Which is funny that you asked for a fruit plate, because wasn't that one of your historic, most called in segments ever? Is
the orange.
You not eating the fruit that you bring to work?
Yes. This is the orange story. Exactly.
And so, all right, well, I have full faith in you. You've been doing this for a long time.
That's true. I have Greg Buck.
And you have Greg Buck. Yes. Greg Buck, how are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling quite well today, actually. I got a call from management this morning saying if I would be interested in taking on new roles as a driver and buying fruit plates. I don't know what that's about, but I'm interested.
Are you?
I am. That's a career opportunity.
Put that on your resume, baby.
I like that we keep referring to them as management like they do in the office. It's like, corporate? We got to talk to corporate?
like you always refer to the mayor on Parks and Rec, and you never knew who the mayor was until the last episode. Like, oh, it was Bill Murray. All right, cool.
Who would the surprise is not there because Sage has been on this show and he's been on multiple shows. But if like, who would be Danny DeVito?
Oh, Danny DeVito! I love radio.
Oh, all right. Well, to no one's surprise, in Wisconsin news yesterday, in less than a minute, the GOP lawmakers took zero action on Governor Evers' childcare workforce development proposals, and no one is surprised. We talked about this with CJ Safer yesterday, as far as we all kind of just expected this, and this is the ongoing when Governor Evers calls a special session, they gavel in and out. When they being Republicans, including one that we're going to talk about today, have a new proposal, often Governor Evers is, I'm absolutely going to veto that. and round and round and
we
round
go.
We go.
Yeah.
But just to bring you up to speed, it was, I think, Greg, you said this yesterday, Baker's Dozen?
Correct. 13th time.
13th time they have gaveled in and gaveled out after being called to a special session. And yesterday, just as a reminder, it was ordered back in August by Governor Evers to consider childcare and a paid leave program and more money to the UW system and other workforce development programs. And so my question this morning is, what do you think? We talk about this all the time.
Yes.
We talk about nursing. We talk about long-term care. I mean, there was another WPR article this morning saying they're looking to virtually train 10,000 new caregivers amid job shortages because we're 20,000 caregivers short of where we need to be.
That's not good.
We're short on teachers. We're short. There's engineers. Like, there is so many. And these are also things that take degrees. These are not out of high school. These are not just, there's some trade jobs, obviously, in trade industries, but there's also jobs that, like, you need advanced training. And so my question, 844-967-2789, is what do you think will bolster the workforce?
What do we need? What's it going to take?
What do we need? Is it, because obviously on the Democratic side, there is thoughts about paid leave. There's thoughts about childcare. There's thoughts about actual investment into our UW system. And at least for me, when I hear what the GOP thinks is tax cuts. And I think that's even what Devin LeMahieu, Senate Majority Leader, said yesterday, is like what they're going to work on is comprehensive tax cuts that make Wisconsin a more appealing place to live. And like for me personally, that does not, like, I have never chosen, as someone who's lived in the two states with the highest taxes.
Right.
And when I moved to Wisconsin, it was like a reprieve. I was like, oh, this is all yeah. I have to pay.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that we're not high. We are. Compare, I mean, if you look at the states,
right,
we are, our tax burden is higher in the top, certainly in the top half, maybe even the top 10 to 15.
I think that sounds reasonable.
But to me, that doesn't move the needle as far as where I would want to live. And so it's hard for me to see the numbers beyond Texas and Florida when those are places that have, Texas has a lot of jobs, has better weather, and there are other factors in that of why people are moving there.
Yes.
Beyond just zero income tax. So we'd love to hear from you as far as what do you think, if we could pick one program to bolster our workforce, what do you think we should invest in? 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Jane, what do you think?
Well, I think that is the Republicans' answer to everything.
It's tax cuts?
It's tax cuts. It is. That's why I just don't see any other policies other than, well, that needs a tax cut. What's broken over there? Oh, we give him a tax cut. That'll fix it. It's the answer for everything. And while I agree with you that the tax burden in Wisconsin is high, that is
comparatively.
Not comparatively, that isn't the answer to encouraging young families to move here.
Well, and especially, I mean, when we talk about the tax brackets, it's still that third highest tax bracket that's between $36,000 and $400,000. Like, this is...
That seems like a large bracket.
Maybe we should split that up.
Mm.
Maybe we
yes.
should, like...
I think they're... Yes.
Like, under $100,000 and over $100,000.
Yeah.
Like, even that simplistic seems a little bit better than... That is a big range.
That is a huge range.
And it's very... Living off of $60,000 is very different than living off of $350,000.
At least that's what we've heard.
Been told. Yeah. I would not know. I've not made $350,000 ever in my life.
I'm right there.
Even with that tech money, I wasn't making $350,000.
I've walked by a bank. That's about closest I've gotten to $350,000. The other thing the Republicans do besides tax cuts, though, is they always think loosening the restrictions, deregulating. They're always like, if we just deregulate things, then yes, that's also not a thing that's going to attract people.
All right. We have someone who wants to tell us. I'm asking the question again. So CJ from Stoughton, what if you have to pick one program to bolster the workforce? What is it?
Hang on one sec. Sorry, I got some Bluetooth.
Caught on your back foot?
A little bit. I'm a little shocked that you even took my call, and I do
appreciate it. We're taking your call, but you got to answer the question.
Okay, can I ask you a question then?
No, you got to answer my question. You at least have to answer my question first. Yes.
After I answer?
If it's not a totally different topic.
All right. Well, the mere fact that you claim that the Republicans want to cut Social Security.
I never said that. We never said that. We were talking about state Republicans, and we're talking about cutting taxes in our state. We're not talking about federal Congress. We're not talking about Social Security at all.
Well, I think it all leads to that.
Okay, so are you going to answer my question, CJ?
State taxes? Pardon me?
Are you going to ask, what would actually bolster our workforce?
That's the question, CJ.
Well, it does. When you cut taxes, it increases revenue.
So that's your answer. So you think cutting taxes... So that's fine. That's your answer. You think that by cutting taxes, we will bolster the workforce. That's great.
It draws businesses, and cutting taxes and reducing the cost and consolidating government. You talk about reducing restrictions. Sometimes, yes, I think that is something that needs to be addressed, you know, as far as regulations go for businesses and things. But you don't realize how many single small LLCs. I'm sure Devil's Radio is an
Civic
LLC.
Media Radio.
And I'm sure they used every bit of the Trump tax cuts and Wisconsin's tax cuts.
I don't think we were existent. Civic Media Radio wasn't around during the original tax Trump cuts. Not established yet.
Yeah, they used the tax cuts that were implemented, though. I guarantee it. And if you ask your business owner, they would. It creates, just like when Ronald Reagan, that's why he's the greatest conservative president ever. He brought revenues back. He reduced the marginal tax rates by exponential amounts, but it ended up creating more revenue. And unfortunately, Tip O'Neill and the Democrats were more than willing to spend more than that. But the mere fact that it does create revenue.
All right, there we go. So that's CJ's answer. CJ thinks that by cutting taxes, that is the best way to bolster our workforce and get people in the state and cover some of these shortages across industries. What do you think? 844-967-2789. What do you think that the best thing that we can do to get people in nursing, get people in child care, get people in teaching? All these different industries that we're saying that we need more folks. Is it tax cuts? Is it better pipelines through the UW system? Let us know what policy you think actually would move the needle. 844-967-2789. So we're going to keep talking about that on the other side of the break. But we also, there's a new bill. There's new Republican bills talking about tax exemptions for unborn children.
Ah.
And other measures to promote adoption and reduce abortions, as they yesterday wanted nothing to do with funding childcare.
No.
But there's other ideas they have of how you can take care of your children. So we'll talk about that on the other side of the break, too. But still want to hear from you on whether or not you think that tax cuts bolsters the workforce or other ideas that you might have. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been the this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly cloudy skies to take us through the overnight. Light southeast winds and 59 degrees by sunrise. We'll have a mix of clouds and sunshine for Friday and some showers and storms, especially in the mid to late afternoon hours. Light southeast wind at our high 79.
It's 60 at our studios.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Welcome back to Medford Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'm going to pick up on the suggestion of Dynamo of Duluth and talk right now about where we stand with the more than 300 flag officers who are frozen, can't get their promotions ratified by the Senate because of lying Tommy Tuberville, chicken hawk Tommy Tuberville. He never served in the military. He said that there were too many generals and admirals. How does he know? Let me tell you something. If you're one of the branches of the service, you look up to the general, the admiral who's in charge, believe me. Okay, but let me respond to Dynamo of Duluth. Dynamo, it's an interesting suggestion. I do not endorse shutting down any bases in a retaliatory fashion against a member of Congress for a variety of reasons. Bases that were shut down frequently in the past have been for financial reasons, they consolidated with other bases and so on. But if you shut down the bases in Alabama or even one of them, what you do is you really injure people who are stationed at those bases. Kids are in school. Spouses have jobs, you have to reassign them. And then local vendors depend on that, local contractors, and it hurts Americans. That's not the way to go, in my view. Here is an update on what the results of what Crooked Tommy Tuberville has done and where we stand, and then where I think we should be going. Tommy Tuberville and a handful of his fellow travelers and running dogs, Ted Cruz is one of them, Josh Hawley of Missouri is another, they're all behind this. They were going to propose the Marine Corps Commandant for promotion. Right now, the Marine Corps has an acting commandant, the first time in its history, an acting commandant. And the Marines are a highly disciplined organization, and they look up to their commandant. So Crooked Tommy Tuberville said, well, I got a sneaky thing here. We will put him to the floor. We'll debate it for a day or two, waste a lot of time, and then approve him. And then that will set the path, and we will demand that they do that for every other one of the 300, which will be 600 by December. We will tie up the Senate completely away from everything else on all of this needless jawboning. Well, Schumer was very smart. He instead proposed three flag officers. One is the commandant of the Marine Corps. One of them is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, because remember, Miley is stepping down on the 30th of September. And the other one is the chief of staff of the Army. So the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs is General Charles Brown. The new chief of staff of the Army is General Randy George, and the new chief of staff, I should say the commandant of the Marine Corps, is Eric Smith. He put those all out on the floor. He obviously had cleared this with Moscow Mitch. And guess what? They passed 89-8. Eight traitors to the United States voted against it. Eight chicken hawks. The chicken hawk Tuberville was behind it. He was mad as a wet hen. But then he said, oh, well, okay, you did it with three. But that required Moscow Mitch to get enough Republicans behind it to break the filibuster. It's called cloture. Well, word to Moscow Mitch, if you do it for three of them, why don't you do it for all 300? Schumer puts them on the floor. Tuberville and his fellow travelers and running dogs, the Putin lovers, object. But it takes 67 votes then to break the cloture to break the filibuster. And then you promote these guys and women. Moscow Mitch won't do that. You see, the Republicans are somewhat behind this. The Republicans could easily bust Tuberville. They could say, no, we're not going to let you do it. But it takes 67 votes. It takes them. They could easily do it. They could also easily do it with Rand Paul, corrupt line Rand Paul, who denied our ambassador's assignments. And as a result, there was an Islamic takeover in Niger. They threw the president out who'd been favorable to the West. And that sets up the killing of Christians in Niger. This is what's happening in the U.S. Senate. This is what's happening because of the Republican Party. Now, where do we go from here? Tuberville is still fighting, objecting, said that basically he was betrayed by Moscow Mitch and the rest of them for letting those three go to a vote. Are you kidding me? The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Charles Brown, after Miley steps down, you expected us to face down the Ruskies and the Chinese and the Iranians? We can't even promote the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? Well, there are two things here. There are two things. Tuberville continues in his treacherous insolence, crooked Tommy Tuberville. And there are two things that can happen. Let Moscow Mitch know. Say, Moscow, you agreed for three of them to go forward. What about the other 300? They're all very important, too. And they all have junior officers who follow them in their assignments. And all of them own houses and have spouses, and I shouldn't say all, but a lot of them own houses, have spouses and kids. And they don't know, should they move from California to where? Should they move from Oklahoma to where? They don't know. It affects their ability to sell their houses if they live off base. It affects their kids' school. Are they going to have to transfer the kids now? Those kids have started school. They're going to be this is going to get broken in November, and the kids have to leave in November. What if they're seniors in high school? What's going on here? So Moscow Mitch could do the decent thing, but he won't do the decent thing. Moscow Mitch only cares about appearances. The other thing, and I'm going to say this again, the Senate is skull and bones. They're a secret society. They think they're the most prestigious group in the world. They meet in the Puckelum for Sherry at 5 p.m. in velvet slippers. They give each other the secret handshake, all of them, all 100 of them. They bow to each other. They do not want to stop crooked Tommy Tuberville, the white supremacist, because they like the power themselves. So get to your senators in every state and say, get the hell out of Skull and Bones and get out of the Puckelum and get on the floor and do some work. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Two adults are dead. There are serious injuries as a charter bus carrying high school students goes off a New York highway and tumbles down an embankment.
The bus was part of a caravan headed to Greeley, Pennsylvania from the students' Long Island High School. When it crashed, the bus was about 40 minutes from its destination.
Correspondent Michael George. Come Friday morning, the United Auto Workers could be expanding their limited strikes against the major Detroit car makers.
They have nice houses, nice yachts. They go on sweet vacations. And then they have the gall to go on TV and say we deserve this because of performance.
That at a Chicago Ford plant that could be among the next walkout targets. With a possible government shutdown looming, the White House urges Congress to avoid it with a short-term money bill.
There is no reason for Republicans to shut down the government. House Republicans should stop their partisan games and keep their promises and also do their jobs.
Press Secretary Corinne Jean-Pierre. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
The simple click of a seatbelt can mean the difference between life and death. But don't just take it from me.
As a nurse for the last 34 years, I've seen way too many people seriously hurt in crashes because they weren't wearing a seatbelt. Please protect yourself. Spare your family and emergency responders from needless trauma. Buckle up. Every seat, every trip, every time.
A life-saving message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, how about some good news? How about some really good news? I think this is really good news. I'm going to share it with you right now. You know, every time you have an incumbent president, you have Joe Biden in this case. Joe Biden's doing a magnificent job. He just instituted a replica of the Civilian Conservation Corps. 20,000 people are going to be going out to fight climate change. I think it's a wonderful thing. But in polls, if the incumbent is not ahead at any given time, everybody goes, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. That's all baloney. Not only are these polls way in advance of the issue, but people go on name recognition on the Republican side. They go on this, they go on that. But let me tell you some hard reality for the Republicans. When push comes to shove, there are things called special elections. A special election could be generated by somebody who dies in office and they have to vote for somebody to replace them. It could be somebody just some quits, somebody takes a job, somebody does a lot of things. There were two recent special elections, one in New Hampshire, one in Pennsylvania, that should make Republicans very anxious and make me very happy. Let's start with New Hampshire. New Hampshire, believe it or not, has the third largest English-speaking legislature in the world. The third largest, because their legislature in their state house has 400 representatives. I mean, I thought we had a lot with 99, which is too many in my view. 400, and it's a smaller state than we are. So each of them represents about 3,000 people. There was a ruby red legislative seat. We'd call it an assembly seat. They would call it the state house, the lower house, that was just up for a special election. Just up for a special election. And the guy that ran as a Democrat is a guy named Hal Rafter. Hal Rafter. He won by a comfortable margin in a seat that Donald Trump had won in 2020, not just 2016, 2020. Donald Trump won it. Donald Trump won it. And yet Democrat Hal Rafter beat the Republican. He beat the Republican by a comfortable margin. This Republican was Trump-like. This Republican had run against another Republican in the primary that had been supported by the sort of local moderates, but the Trump insurgent won. And then he got creamed in the general election. He did a lot of strange things. First of all, he was a 2020 truther. What do I mean by that? The word truther had originally been used for people who lied about the Saudi Arabian attack on 9/11 that killed almost 3,000 people in New York City. And some of the people in the far right of the Republican Party said it was an inside job and the U.S. government did it. And they were lying, but they were also called truthers. Well, there's a new breed called 2020 truthers who say that the election was stolen. The election was rigged. Joe Biden is really not president. And the Republican that ran against Hal Rafter was a 2020 truther. He attacked Michael Pence for allegedly betraying Trump and not overturning the election. And he said that Trump is still the elected president. This is how he campaigned. In other words, he was like Trump. He also made a history of very, very nasty, very, very hateful comments about people in the LGBT community and others. And he also took a hard right, worse than DeSantis, stance on the coronavirus and on vaccines. So how did he do? He ran in a district that Trump won in 2020. He lost. He lost substantially. What this tells me is that Trump is a political leper, and people who are his little mini lepers who run are not going to do very well. In Pennsylvania, there was a seat in Western Pennsylvania. It was an assembly seat. We would call it an assembly seat. It was basically the equivalent as a lower chamber. And a woman ran, and she was expected to win, the Democrat, and she did. But if you average the Democratic votes that the victor usually got in that seat, she exceeded that by double digits. What this says to me, and two canaries in the coal mine, but the truth of the matter is that this says to me, and says to a lot of people, that if you ape Trump, if you're a Trumper or a DeSantis type, and you run, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. The Democrats are energized to vote against you, and they will turn out in record numbers. And there are a lot of Republicans who are tired. They're very, very fatigued, very, very fatigued about this Trump leprosy, this Trump cancer that has taken hold of the Republican Party and, frankly, is squeezing all of America simply because there's enough of a minority that they can shut down the government, not vote for things, and cause chaos. This is being shown in the U.S. House of Representatives right now. Kevin McCarthy has lost control. He's now three times tried to get a defense budget to the floor, and his own party stands in his way. So they're starting to fight back. Let me give you some examples. And some of it is in language that I'm sort of amazed they use. McCarthy, to his caucus, said sarcastically, "Why don't we amaze America and not hit a tree?" That's what he said, though, which is actually kind of funny. His allies are organizing, in their words, to crush the Freedom Caucus rebellion. There's a guy, Republican in Idaho, Mike Simpson. You know, he's right wing, but he's not a nut. And here's what he said to a journalist in public. If they try to remove McCarthy from the chair, quote, "Let's get it over with. I think we would ram it up their rear end." That's what he said. Now, this is very unusual talk for a political party within its own caucus. It's very, very unusual talk. And let me say something else. I am tired, very tired, of hearing everybody badmouth Joe Biden. And I'm saying that analytically and objectively. I happen to like Joe Biden, supported him in the primary. We held debate watches for him and all that. But objectively speaking, I'm tired of that kind of criticism. Let's look at the evidence. Joe Biden, right now, unemployment is the lowest, really, it's been in 50 years. He has brought inflation under control. It was a worldwide inflation. It was not just an American inflation. He's brought it under control by several points, by a lot of points better than the UK and other first world countries, and a heck of a lot better, obviously, than any other country in the world. He's brought NATO together and allied them against Russia to support Ukraine. Allied them against Russia. Trump was going to take us out of NATO, and he would right now. He's an isolationist. He's also a Russian agent. He's been paid by Russia. Who said that? Kevin McCarthy said that. He said in one of the last sessions, he said, there are two people who I think are being paid by the Russians. This Dana Rohrabacher, congressman from California, who's since lost his seat, and Donald Trump. Then McCarthy claimed he didn't say it. They produced a tape. Somebody had taped them. I don't know if he claimed that it was shopped or somehow. He did say it. Eric Trump said that Trump is paid by the Russians. He said, ever since we went bankrupt in those casinos, the banks in the United States won't give them money. The Russians are giving them money, us money. That's what he said. He was proud of it, too. Very proud of it. Trump continuously praises Putin, praises Russia, even when they attack our interests and our allies, praises them. When the Russians assassinated a guy in Berlin, Trump defended them and falsely said they hadn't done it. When they almost assassinated a guy in London, they gave him a poison that darn near killed him and his daughter. Trump defended them and said they hadn't done it. Trump said Putin's a genius. Quote, he got all that real estate, i.e. the Ukraine invasion, for $2 in sanctions. Trump in Helsinki at that press conference said he didn't trust the CIA and the FBI. But he trusted Putin. Ron Johnson said the same thing in this state. He said he didn't trust the CIA and the FBI, and you elected him. You reelected him. This is a sick, sick party. Go to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. Gene, what's in your mind today?
Thank you for the great show, Matt. This is so important, all the issues that you brought up. And I do think that Joe Biden is doing an outstanding job. He had the experience. He still, you know, he has the experience. I seen recently a clip between, you know, because Trump was on saying what a great job he did and there wouldn't be a war and all this stuff if he was president. However, I recall watching live, you know, when he was at the UN and how he treated other people and how he spoke. Well, they had a clip on one of the channels of Donald Trump addressing the United Nations and then our current president. And all he did was brag up what a great administration. It was the best administration ever and all this kind of stuff about himself. And everybody started laughing. And he was shocked in his face. And then we have a clip of our current president treating people with respect, working in unity, and working together. And it just was like night and day. And I am so sick of the constant chaos. And he cares about people. He cares about the military. I recall watching Trump live, running down people who were injured in the war, people who have died, you know, people who were held hostage and captured. And this guy is one insane son of a gun. And people who keep praising him really and truly need to be checked out really and seriously. Maybe they're brainwashed. I don't know. But people need to wake up because this guy is dangerous. And our president, bless his heart, watches the porn of his son put out on the floor of the House, which they've gone bonkers. I have never seen the behaviors, the putrid behaviors of people that are are representing us. So anyway, I didn't mean to go on and on, but thank you so much, Matt. And I think Biden really has helped our country, and I hope people start looking and seeing truly that he is. Thank you. Bye.
Right. Thank you, Gene. Yeah, and you know something? It's very easy to attack Trump, and crooked Donald Trump deserves to be. All of those classified documents he had lying around, the Russians got them, the Iranians got them, the Saudis got them, we and Chinese, we lost. We had captured and executed, they did, of our undercover agents who were, information was on those documents. He knew what he was doing. But let's talk about Biden. Biden, the economy, they talk about Bidenomics, we have the highest employment in 50 years. Wages are going up. He is a magnificent president. We're going to a break, by the way. Don't hang up. I see you on the lines. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
The ring of fire, the ring of fire, and it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're
Hey man, your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly cloudy skies to take us through the overnight. Light southeast winds and 59 degrees by sunrise. We'll have a mix of clouds and sunshine for Friday and some showers and storms, especially in the mid to late afternoon hours. Light southeast wind at our high 79. It's 57 at our studios.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I want to revisit one issue we talked about spineless Kevin McCarthy. This is unbelievable. McCarthy now says he will not let Volodymyr Zelensky, in my judgment, the heroic president of Ukraine, address the House of Representatives. Chuck Schumer, Moscow Mitch, all of them in the Senate permitted him to address the Senate. He can address the Senate, all 100 of them. Although it remains to be seen if Ron Johnson will show up. Ron Johnson's part of that Tuberville crowd. But Schumer is opening the Senate to Zelensky, as he should. Spineless Kevin McCarthy is afraid that these MAGA Freedom Caucus types will knife him. He will do anything to suck up to them, anything to ingratiate himself. It's absolutely disgusting that a member of the House of Representatives, especially the Speaker, would do that. And remember, Joe Biden has asked for $24 billion in assistance for Ukraine. Let me tell you something. It's not an invasion. It's a genocide. It's a genocide. The Russians are genocidal and sadistic. They've kidnapped over 20,000 Ukrainian children away from their parents, in some cases raped their mother, in some cases killed their mothers, taken them to Moscow, Russia, and elsewhere in Russia. They're beating the Ukrainian at them. That's what they said. Very, very similar. Back in the 17th century, the Ottoman Empire would kidnap Bulgarian, Serbian kids, 10 years old, make him convert to Islam. They call them Janissaries, then send him back to Bulgaria and Serbia to kill their relatives. That actually happened in history. It's happening again, happening with the Ruskies. Republicans don't care, apparently. I think most Republicans do care, but the types we're talking about, the leadership doesn't care. The rank and file should care. Republican voters should care. I'm going to say it again before we go on to the next topic. It's time to simply seize the assets that are frozen in the United States, owned by Russia, $300 billion, and use it in an account to support and rebuild Ukraine. It's going to cost $500 billion to rebuild Ukraine. Who's going to pay for that? Russia. That's who there's going to pay for that. And in addition to financial support, Zelensky demanded in the UN, and he's exactly right, that Russia should be stripped of its veto power. Russia, France, China, the United States, and the UK have veto power over anything. Russia is Hitlerian. It is Nazi Germany. If you don't have Nazi Germany, have veto power. The Russians are genocidal sadists. And I think we have to unite and resolve on one thing. When this is all over, and I mean deep in the future, Russia should cease to exist the way it exists now. It should be two cities, St. Petersburg and Moscow, perhaps connected by a land corridor, and they will simply be a tourist attraction for Western tourists, for whatever it is they have to offer. There's 145 million people in Russia squatting on 11 time zones of gas and oil. They are valueless. In fact, they're worse than valueless. Their culture is homicidal, sadistic, and they cannot be permitted to stay on. We have to be careful. They have nuclear weapons, blah, blah. I know all that. Keep squeezing them and squeezing them and squeezing them in alliances and economically until some people kill Putin as quickly as possible and take over and try to do something normal for a change. And then they've got to be severely restricted. I want to get back briefly to Trump. I think, and one thing I want to point out, people say, oh, well, Biden, you know, has these, he's tied with Trump and all this. Remember something I said before on the show. Ever since Franklin Roosevelt, in poll after poll, every president, Roosevelt, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Reagan, Ford, all of them, Clinton, Obama, both Bushes, everybody, Trump, Biden, somewhere between 29 and 32% of the people in the country at any time want them impeached and removed from office. Every president, think about that. The guy who had the least opposition, believe it or not, was Bill Clinton, 29%. The guy who had the most, and I think this had was racially motivated to an extent, was Obama, 32%. You have to admit, you have to understand that a little under a third of the people at any time want the president out of there, whoever it is, whoever it is. Take that into account, and take this into account too with Trump. There's an article in The Atlantic that reported on conversations with Trump at the beginning of his last, of his only term, in other words, early in his term, where he said, Guam isn't America. I don't know if you remember that. Well, let me give you the context of his saying that. He started to badmouth and insult Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un is very short and he's extremely heavy. And Trump made fun of his physical appearance and called him Little Rocket Man. John Kelly, his chief of staff, who is a retired four-star Marine admiral, said, you really shouldn't do that. He has nuclear weapons. And when you do that with some of these people, they could resort to that, or their militaries could induce them to. We have to be careful. Trump said, so what? And then John Kelly said, well, wait a minute. Millions of people could die in Japan, South Korea, and they could hit Guam. And Trump said, Guam isn't America. Well, let me tell you something about Guam. Guam, 25% of Guam are U.S. Navy, largely Navy, but other Marine installations, military, ours. 1 in 8 people on Guam are veterans of the U.S. military. Trump has opened contempt. Kim Jong-un kidnapped Otto Warmbier, the University of Virginia student, and tortured him for a year, the worst kinds of tortures you can imagine, and shipped his body back to his parents in Virginia. And then Trump caved and said, I love Kim Jong-un. Remember? He went to Hanoi and groveled before him. Trump is a psychopath. He's a psychopath. He has open contempt for the military. Remember that he said that the American soldiers who fought in World War I were suckers and losers, because World War I, as it turned out, was sort of a crazy war to be in. You don't call our veterans suckers and losers, especially the ones that are wounded and killed. He said he didn't want wounded veterans in military parades because he didn't like looking at them. He said that John McCain was a loser. He didn't like guys who were captured. We come to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Matt Flynn, director, will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
All right, Matt, let's try to get you back in your email.
Yeah, I'd like that, because here's the thing.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Rizza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine. Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.